Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back. We're at the Bayou Bar and Grill in Philadelphia. Washington's built a foundation of success on and off the field. We want to help you do the same. And we got a way you can do that. You got to hit up our guys, Kondori and Murad, that law firm, which sponsors our show and brought us on the road to Cincinnati and Philly. The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny's can help you update your last will and testament. You got to get that done. Nobody likes thinking about it or doing it, but it's got to be done if you got a family. Set up a revocable trust with them as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're in Philly. We're going to the game tonight. We're excited about that. And the Commanders have a chance to get back in first place against the Eagles, which is a golden opportunity. One of the biggest games, frankly, they've played in the division, Danny, in years, kicks off in about 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Now, the Eagles do this annually. They've got a tilt with someone else at the top of the division. It's been Dallas in recent years. It was the Giants before. You know, here, there, and everywhere. They're used to this. This is uncharted territory for Washington fans and the organization. You know, but a rare flare-up with a December winning streak. This is pretty new for them to be in a game this meaningful.
We're live all over D.C. on our flagship 106.7. We're live in Richmond, Virginia, and surrounding areas, AM 910 FM 105.1, and we're global right now on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You can listen to us anywhere on the Odyssey app. But we were just talking about how we wonder if Eagles fans know the perception that's out there and how legitimate they find it to be. So we figured we'd ask our guy Paul, who's been awesome today out here at Bayou. He's helping us and taking great care of us. By the way, have any three people ever eaten more than we have since we got here?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Now, you guys had the wings on Monday and Tuesday. They are 25 cents. So we did a lot. We sell about 2,000-3,000 a night.
We picked the wrong night?
I know you did.
Sounds like. Hey, Thursday night football, not Monday night football. We'll have to work on the schedule next year.
Indeed.
You had the cheesesteak.
Yeah, I'm going to put in order wings, by the way. I want that crab style. That looks amazing. That's Buffalo and Old Bay. I need to experience that.
That sounds good.
The cheesesteak was a 10. Really, really good.
Well, so let's talk cheesesteaks for a second. The best cheesesteak other than in the Bayou, like downtown or whatever, the big debate is all these places. What is your preferred cheesesteak location?
Well, here in the Roxburgh, Matty Young section, there's a place called Delisandro's that I grew up in this area, and I've been here.
That's famous, right?
Famous, yeah. It's now become a little bit more a tourist spot, but it's packed all the time. But there's a ton of cheesesteaks around here. Angelo's down there near the stadium on, I think it's 9th Street, has been rave reviews about them. I had that maybe a few weeks ago. Fantastic. John's Roast Pork is really good.
Yeah.
But their pork sandwich is probably a little better than their cheesesteak, but their cheesesteak's still good.
What's
as well.
Different about a Philly cheesesteak? Because there's cheesesteak places everywhere. Why is it different in Philly?
It's the love. It's love. The love for food. It's the love. Much we might not give love to other teams or the other sports teams.
I thought you guys weren't capable of love. No?
Well, we are the city of brotherly love.
That is, I thought that was just ironic.
You thought it was ironic?
Yeah, I thought that was just supposed to be.
No, I like you guys are here. I respect team.
You're very, very nice.
I might be the only one, but in the area, but I do respect it. But people, the cheesesteak's number one. It's people put a lot of love into it, and they're consumed by tourists. They're consumed by athletes that come in town here. So it's pretty well famous.
Didn't you do the what was the one you were going to do? Like the can of cheese, right?
The Whiz.
The Whiz. Yeah, people. It's like the order with or without with the Whiz. I'm not a big fan of the Whiz. I like just the basic American cheese or provolone cheese, whatever cheese you want, with fried onions.
It's a play. I think that's
the way to do it. The adventurous types have done Whiz and regular cheese.
Correct,
also,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And it's some people like to add pizza sauce to it, mushrooms.
Pizza sauce.
Yeah, like a pizza steak.
A pizza steak. Again, I think you may as well then go somewhere else if you're going to do that.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, go to a pizza restaurant and get some steak on your pizza. Don't go to the cheesesteak place and they get pizza sauce on your pizza. You know what I mean?
On the outside looking in, and Danny, you cut me off if you disagree.
Okay.
I think the two things you guys are most known for is cheesesteaks and having fans that are terrible to people. Is that pretty fair? Is there
That's a pretty
else?
Fair assessment. I got friends like that. If they're listening to me right now, they're going to be in a lot of trouble later tonight.
Like you had the DC Sports Show in your bar?
Your bar?
Yeah. I'll hear that later tonight with a lot of text messages and stuff that way. But it's okay. It's fun.
Do you think that the reputation is earned?
To a degree, yes.
Okay.
There's, you know, every fan base has fans that are just obnoxious. There's fans that are gracious. I was in New Orleans for the Eagles Saints game. There couldn't be a nicer fan base.
They're so nice.
They lost, the Eagles won that game late. They're hugging me, buying me shots, having a few beers with you. And one other thing, you can't find one ugly woman in New Orleans. Turn around, there's not one ugly woman, but every fan base. I guess I don't know if it's they drink a lot and. They do get when their team's not winning. You can hear the fans booing. It gets really, really, really loud. It comes through. Look, Sirianni, they were on him about 5 weeks ago. Now they've kind of the Eagles have won games, and all of a sudden it turns into cheers instead of boos now.
So I went to GW in Washington D.C. A ton of guys from New York, a ton of guys from the Mid-Atlantic and Philadelphia. So it's basically half of the entire. It was in D.C., but 80% of the people that I encountered or dealt with were either Philly fans or New York fans, and just a constant antagonizing thing. The Philly fan, to me, was not only aware of the reputation, but seemed to lean into it and relish in that. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, fine, I'm the villain. If you want to make me the villain, watch me behave like a villain.
Well, that's the perception it is. We like being the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes us. What Kelsey said, nobody likes us, et cetera, et cetera. But it's the way it is. We relish it. The fan base is very passionate, and all they do is want to win.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia's been not very good at winning championships. Look, Eagles have won one Super Bowl. Phillies have won two World Series. They've been in, 120 years of existence. Sixers haven't won since 83. Flyers haven't won since the mid-70s. So this fans, I guess it's a little angry at times.
angry at times
when they're awake.
Now, yes.
Yeah.
Like now Eagles are 7-2. So we're looking forward to the – and they've gotten better as week has gone on.
Does it feel like the collapse is coming to a lot of Philly fans? Because they're good.
They're good, but I don't know. We don't want to experience what happened last year.
Yep.
I think there was some inside turmoil with the team. I don't know what it was, but it just – you can't go from that good to being that bad.
I watch Sirianni from afar, and I think he is a boob. I mean, do you guys like him at this point?
I don't particularly like him. But, okay. The second year he took him to the Super Bowl, and they were basically two plays away from winning that Super Bowl.
They've won a lot of football games, but they had to blow out both coordinators. Nobody in the building had anything nice to say about him last year. It seems like Jalen Hurts is not a fan, but I guess it's easy to say on the outside.
I almost put him towards when Barry Switzer took over for Jimmy Johnson. He was basically a puppet, and everybody around him, the coordinators, did everything. They did the game planning. They did the play calling. And Sirianni's just roaming around the sidelines like he's a fan with a headset on. That's basically what he looks like to me.
Well, that was the other thing is when you're losing and you don't call plays, like what do you do? He's not an offensive coordinator in terms of play calling. He's not a defensive coordinator. You watch him on the sidelines and he does get animated, but there's kind of this feeling like what do you say you do here?
What is it you do here?
Well, he yells at the fans. He's got nothing else to do. He yells at the fans and they're billing him. I mean, it's...
That was the one time I was in lockstep with him, I think, was when he was really angry with Philly fans.
Yeah, that's who he is. I don't know if they have a collapse, he won't be here next year, and it'll be interesting to see. But right now, I think they're playing about as good as football they played in a year. Their defense is playing well now. The competition hasn't been great. They'll get into some tougher teams as it goes on, especially tonight with the Commanders. I mean, who thought they'd be 7-3? But, you know, they look like they've done a really good job drafting. The quarterback, Jaden Daniels, has done a really, really good job. So we'll see tonight.
So what advice, what tips would you give us? What are the things we need to know? I've been to the link many, many times. I've always sat in the press box with a credential.
She's protected. Right, plexiglass, security.
Us three. You see Darius. You see Danny. You see me. We will be in the crowd with some of the worst of your fan base.
And now, look, one other bit of information. We're dressed in neutral colors, very, like, nondescript, or sit on our hands. There are two fans that are going to have bright, shiny, crisp Washington jerseys on. Eyes are going to be on us. What do we do?
Try to ignore it as best as you can. Right. I don't know what else. I mean, I don't want to see you guys getting a fight in the stands and then things of that nature, because they're going to be hostile, because you got to figure they've been tailgating since 9, 10 o'clock this morning, probably yesterday.
So they'll be super friendly.
I don't know about super friendly. If the Commanders are winning, you could throw out super friendly.
Okay.
Now, if the
Eagles the Commanders are up 10. They'll just say stuff like, congrats to you guys, good job.
No.
Good
this
touchdown.
Team looks fun.
No. You'll get a couple F-bombs. You'll get a couple things of that nature.
Curse words?
Yeah, yeah.
What about, like?
You might get a beer spilled on you.
Okay.
Sandwich thrown at you. Accidentally, yes.
Yeah. But, like, let's say, like, Jaden Daniels rips off a 23-yard touchdown run. I'm impressed by that rookie, something like that.
He's good.
They'll tell us, like, you guys are lucky. You got a good one.
There could be there'll be a few fans like that. I'll give you props for a play like that. But there's the hardcore fan in Philly. Absolutely not.
They won't do that.
Oh, no. No one exhibits sportsmanship.
So we went to Cincinnati. Our buddies who sponsored the show sent us on the road. Our buddies Kandori and Murad. And so we're hanging out with them in Cincy. And before the game, during the game, after the game, the experience is kind of what you talked about with New Orleans, where we're sitting there, and they're like, we're telling them, yeah, we're, you know, from D.C., whatever. And they're like, dapping us up. They're like, man, we would score a touchdown. They're like, good play. Like, you guys are really fighting, you cute little Washington. And you'd, like, tap us on the head. And, like, after, you know, Washington wins the game, they're like, man, inspiring effort. Like, way to go. You're saying it's not going to be like that at all?
No, you might take a right cross or an uppercut or something like that. Yes.
Something like that.
Something to that effect.
I'm only laughing because I'm afraid.
Daniel Day-Lewis was in a movie. What was the movie called?
My Left Foot?
No,
the Boxer?
There Will Be Blood.
Oh, I was going through this whole catalog.
There Will Be Blood. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to take me, I can sit around and protect you guys if you want.
You actually, you know what? You played college basketball. Didn't you say you coached Kobe Bryant?
I did in high school, yeah. He was in high school for sophomore and junior year.
So where was he at?
Lower Marion High School.
And where is that at?
It's about 10, 15 minutes from here.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's close.
Wow.
Right outside the city.
And I'll bet you had no idea he was any good at that point.
No, I didn't think he was any good. I didn't see Hall of Fame credentials, five NBA championships. I didn't see it at all.
Wow. All right, well, it's good insight. I think that's some of the intel that we needed.
That's what we're looking for.
Last thing I would ask is, what are the expectations from, you know, the locals and the guys that come in and out? Are they expecting a big win tonight, or are they nervous about the Commanders?
Well, you can never hope. You don't want to lose. I'm very confident. You're at home. You should win the game.
You mean Washington?
Yes, Washington should win the game, right?
<You got it. laughs>
I can't take that back now, can I?
It's recorded. It's out there.
Yeah.
But I think they're pretty confident. The Eagles are playing really well right now. They had an easy week last week, and we all know the Cowboys are not very good.
Yeah, let's bond over that. How bad are the Cowboys?
We're going to be together on that.
The Commanders played the Steelers, who are a physical team. And, you know, they were in the game. And they've had a couple weeks now. I know what the Hail Mary was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So it's a tough spot 3 days later to play a game on Thursday night. But I don't know if they're an older team, the Commanders, or they're – I mean, they're young.
There's a lot of spots there.
People say they're young. They're actually – I mean, they signed a lot of veterans. So they're – I would imagine if you line it up, they're probably middle of the pack in age. But, you know, Jaden Daniels being young, the fact that you've got a big draft class that they just brought in that's good, this is sustainable, ideally.
It's nice to see, you know, Eagles have been Cowboys, Eagles shot. It's nice to see Eagles and Washington having a renewed rivalry in the division.
Having the games matter, man.
Yeah, it does. You're 10 games, 10, 11 games into the season now. It's nice to see that, because this is basically tonight, I heard you guys say earlier, this is, you know, Commanders win, they're in the driver's seat for the division. Eagles win, they'd have a game and a half lead. It's still pending game in D.C.
Right.
And Eagles' schedule gets a little bit tougher down here, because I know they still got Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and there's a couple teams in there like Carolina they got to play, but it should be interesting. I think they're two playoff teams, It just be a matter of, you know, one team's going to be on the road in the first round, the other team's going to be at home.
This would be a great opportunity for Paul to just completely turn heel on all his buddies. So when they're listening to this later, you want to become a Commanders fan?
I don't have a problem. I have a bunch of friends that are Commanders fans. I like all teams. I don't.
But whatever, to have fun.
What if you started hating the Eagles and rooting for the Commanders, like, religiously?
I don't know if that's in my blood.
Okay.
Outside like this, I can tell you I'm a Commanders fan, but deep down inside, I'm still a Philadelphia
You'd be
guy.
Lying.
I'd be lying, yes. I would be.
Well, the hospitality's been awesome.
Oh, you guys are great.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Good chicken wings. Thank you, buddy. That's our guy, Paul, who's hanging out with us today and taking really good care of us out here at Bayou Bar and Grill. I just wanted to touch the people a little bit in Philadelphia and just get a little vibe for you. You know,
but you can hear the confidence.
But I mean, like, oh, you know, part. It doesn't have to be this way, right? Like, you know, you don't have to do it the way you do it.
Well, here's the thing: for every, and this is now me putting shtick to the side. I'm moving shtick over. For every handful of Philadelphia fans that I met, they're actually very pleasant people. Like, all the time. I happen to grow up outside of Philadelphia. I like the team. Or I grew up in Camden, New Jersey. I like Philadelphia. That's a normal thing. For everyone that's, like, nice and kind, and is like, yeah, I don't love the fact that this is said about my fellow fans. You never want to be the embarrassing thing. Like, I'm sure, you know, the Raiders fans over the years that have had people, like, beaten up in the parking lots are probably not thrilled about that. There's probably a lot of very reasonable people. But there's enough apples that are rotten and bad where it happens enough times where enough of the fan base leans in, it's almost like nothing you can do anymore. So the kind folks just kind of throw their hands up and go, hey, what are you going to do? I can't defend that. So the perception has won, and the perception comes from somewhere.
No, but I will say, I mean, by and large, not only today, obviously, out and about, but just generally, I think every fan base has bad apples.
100%.
That ruin everything.
Of course.
But I don't want to let them off the hook before we go to the game, because I do think you go to a Bengals game like we did or a Saints game like he did, just different than going to the Link. Where, just as an example, you want to walk into that stadium in a jersey, you're going to get yelled at and cursed at and screamed at and stuff's going to be thrown at you. And that's not necessarily going to happen walking into Northwest Stadium.
Right.
And then it's an earned reputation to an extent. But they're confident in their boys. They feel like they're going to win this game tonight. And the flip side of that is, I don't necessarily think the same confidence has existed the last couple of days in the nation's capital, but I do think there's a growing excitement for tonight. There's a little bit of a, like, opening up the curtain and peeking out and going, maybe, just maybe. Like, what if? What if Jaden Daniels does the Bengals 2.0 performance? What if this is Monday Night Football in Cincinnati all over again, where you and I are just kind of looking at each other with
just
our hands
stunned.
On our heads
yeah.
at the end of the game going, what was that? That's definitely a thing that could take place.
It's on the table. Again, these you know, big games. And I know a lot of folks in the analytics world will sort of close their or roll their eyes to this, rather. But there is something to be said for players performing a little extra, a little, you know, stepping up in those kind of huge moments, and then not showed up on a data sheet. But there are things, there's something to that, where you go, this superstar, when the world is watching, when there's doubt, when everybody else is kind of nervous and puckered, that guy's loosey-goosey, and he's playing his absolute best. That's on the table tonight. And I think, honestly, not to put too much pressure on the kid, I think it's what it's going to take. For them to win tonight, I feel like Jaden Daniels has to have that game. Where at the end of the season, when we look back, we're going, what were your favorite games? And everybody's answer is that Philadelphia game.
Logan Paulson's going to join the show coming up in 40 minutes, right at 6 o'clock. We will break the game down and preview the matchup with him. Nobody smarter or better to discuss this game with. He's been watching the film on the Eagles throughout the week. That's coming up in 40 minutes. Next, though, Darius has our FanDuel props for player props for the Commanders tonight. We will play a little over-under. You're listening to Grant and Danny live from Philly ahead of tonight's Commanders-Eagles game on The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Bayou Bar and Grill in Philly, getting ready to head on over to Lincoln Financial Field in 1 hour. We're Grant and Danny. You are locked into the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Logan Paulson joins us in a half hour. It is time right now to take a look at some of the player props on FanDuel for tonight. Play a little over-under. This is our way to try to develop our game script, see how we think this thing's going to play out. We bring on producer Darris, who's got some of the props for us.
Boys, our friends at FanDuel have Jaden Daniels' passing prop set at 224.5.
This is right about where I think it's going to end up. I'm going to say under, but by a yard or two. I think he's right around 220 or 220 if you were JP Finlay.
This is over. This is an over for me. Jaden Daniels is going to be throwing a lot because I think Washington is either going to be chasing or in a shootout. They're going to be over 220-plus yards. So he has not surpassed that total in either of the last two games against the Steelers or the Giants. In fact, you got to go back to the Bears via the Hail Mary and the Ravens as the only two times he has surpassed that total really since about week six or so. But I think he goes over. We talked earlier today with Hugh Douglas, who covers the Eagles in Philadelphia, is on the radio at our sister station here via Odyssey, and he basically said there's one flaw with this defense. It's the secondary. There's going to be some opportunities for some chunk yardage down the field. I believe that Jaden Daniels is going to go over that passing prop.
The opposing quarterback is Jalen Hurts. They have him set just 3 yards above Jaden Daniels, 227.5.
Under. I don't think they're going to need to throw the ball nearly as much as Washington's going to need to. I think Saquon Barkley's going to run very effectively. Jalen Hurts is going to put up numbers. Don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be 210, 215, 217. He's going to have probably 120 or so to A.J. Brown. I think he's going to have another 75 or so, maybe 65 for Devontae Smith. They'll do the heavy lifting on the outside. There might be another 20, 30 yards to be had for their other receivers, but I think those two guys will make some plays. I do believe, though, Saquon Barkley is going to be the bell cow. They'll be able to run the football and move the ball that way.
He's going to go over. He won't be able to help it. It won't be the game plan or the design, but it'll be too effective. He'll have lots of catches and runs as A.J. Brown runs roughshod through the secondary. I got him around 235, 240.
On to the rushing props. The return of Brian Robinson. They have him set at 50.5 in his return to the field.
Over for me on this one. I think win, lose, or draw, this is how they're going to go down. Or if they go up, or if they win. The whole game plan here to me is going to be to thump, and the best defense is when Washington has the football. That's how they're going to play this thing. They are going to feature Brian Robinson early, middle, and late.
He's going to go under that total. They're going to be throwing the ball more than they want to be. I think he'll probably run for 45 or 50 yards. I think you're going to see Eckler probably run for 20 or 30. I think you'll see McNichols 10 to 20. They're not going to bring him back and just hammer him into the line of scrimmage 25 times, though. They might want to do that, but they're going to have to be in this game and or, you know, probably ahead to do that. So, again, I see them playing from behind or in a situation like they were in Cincy where every single time you get the football, you got to go get points. And when you're in that kind of a game and there's that kind of urgency, you end up throwing the ball a little more.
Earlier in the show, you guys said you wanted this to be the game where Jaden Daniels has his major, big, explosive run play. They have this over-under set at 43.5 rushing yards.
Over. I always go over for Jaden Daniels rushing, and about half the time I'm right. Last week I certainly was not, 5 yards. The week before that I certainly was not, 35 yards. It's been back-to-back weeks where he's not been that aggressive as a rusher. I think some of that has to do with the rib. I'm not really sure how we got here where he's been in the pocket more and a little less willing to run around. That is the secret sauce for me. That is the mystery potion. That's the cape that he wears, flies around as Superman. So he's got to get back to that. He's got to be willing to scramble. He's the leader in the league in scrambles and yards. He was doing it too much early in the year. Last week he didn't do it enough. There's a sweet spot, though. 5, 6, 7 times for 30 or 40 yards. I think there's a big play in here somewhere, a 20 or 25-yard back-breaking run to keep a drive alive. And if he does that, he's a good chunk of the way there. So I will say he goes over.
Under again. Continues to go under. Goes under all the time. The under itself gets lower and lower each week because of the rushing totals going down. Hasn't run for more than 52 yards since, I think it's week 4 or 5 against Cleveland. I think defenses have figured it out. They're taking that away. That is their big focus because that's the backbreaker, and he'll be effective, but it's going to be in other ways, I think. Under.
When we found out this guy was leaving the Giants, we did not hope that it would be with a division rival. Saquon Barkley set at 93.5 rushing yards.
So that's a huge total. I actually think it goes a little bit under that.
Doesn't mean that
he's not effective and awesome. He'll be just fine. But I think this is that's what they're going to sell and try to stop. I think Washington will hold him to right around 88, 90 yards, somewhere in there. He'll still be over 120 total yards because he'll catch the best out of the backfield. This, to me, is going to be a game where Philly tries it, but they'll find their yardage and points elsewhere.
That's an over pretty easily, I think. I mentioned this a couple times today, kind of one of my favorite stats. So in addition to Saquon Barkley being number 2 in the NFL in rushing yards with over 900 and in scrimmage yards with over 1,100, his best career numbers are against Washington when you line up every opponent that he's faced. He's had 9 games against the Commanders, and in that time he's got more yards, more touchdowns than he has against any NFC East foe, any other opponent. That, to me, leads to his comfort, his confidence. He sees this team, his eyes light up, and now you add in one of the best lines in the league. He's running better than he ever was in New York. I am in on Saquon Barkley being over. I think he goes for a $125 or so in this game.
Jalen Hurts can run too. They have him set at 41.5 rushing yards.
Over. These will be dagger runs. These will be infuriating. These will be blood boiling. When you think they've got him down, he escapes and he runs and runs and runs. He has a massive, massive day, and I'm pretty furious.
Under 41.5 for Jalen Hurts. I will say under. There are times where he has absolutely made huge plays against Washington with his feet. But Jalen Hurts, for the most part, is the, you know, it's early in the season, especially it was kind of tush-push season. It was a yard here, a yard there. This past week he ran for 56, kept a streak alive of back-to-back 50-yard games. You look before that, though, he had gone 5 consecutive games without 40 rushing yards. In fact, 37 was the high water mark in a 5-game stretch all the way back to week 2. He's got a total of 3 games this season with higher than 37 rushing yards. So he's been under the total you're giving us in all but 3 of the 9 games that they've played. I'll say under.
Receiving props time. Let's go with the guy that's number 17 on the field, but number 1 in your heart. Terry McLaurin, 56.5 receiving yards.
This is always right down the middle. This is always really, really close. He's basically under half the time, over half the time. So this is as close to 50-50 as you're going to get. I've got an over today. For Terry McLaurin, I think it's about 65 yards. He makes a couple tough catches, but Philadelphia's going to be geared to take him away. I don't know that they can entirely, but they will limit him.
I got Washington throwing a lot, right? I got Jaden Daniels going over in passing, right? Well, then I got Terry McLaurin going over in receiving. He actually has some of his biggest games and best performances against the Philadelphia Eagles. In fact, this is the team he has the most success against when you look at the numbers. I gave you the Saquon Barkley digits. For Terry McLaurin, it's a very, very similar story if you look at his numbers against the Eagles. Remember his debut game with Case Keenum at quarterback? He caught a 75-yard touchdown against Philly. His entire career, he seems to make big, big plays against this team. His yards per catch against them higher than it is in almost every other game, or team rather, that he plays. So I'll go over. I would also point out he's on pace for 1,200, and he's got four 100-yard games. About half the time this year, he goes for a bill. You're talking about going for 60-some? He's been over in three of the last 4 weeks by a lot, like not even close. 98, 125, 113, Carolina, Chicago, Pittsburgh. I'll go over.
I remember that McLaurin touchdown from Case Keenum like it was yesterday. Some would call this the Zach Ertz revenge game. Is that Zach Ertz revenge game? Does that sound right?
It is.
Yeah.
I'll call that. They said goodbye, although he did have a pit stop in Arizona. So that kind of takes away. I think he played against Philly with the Cardinals. So it's kind of like you're doing it again with another team.
It's like a new division this time.
It's a revenge game.
All right, revenge game. They didn't name him the captain this week because it's not a revenge game. Right. I'll tell you that.
32.5 receiving yards for tight end one.
You can do it, Dave.
Right at this number. Again, because there's no yards after the catch. It's no yak sack. I'll say over 33 yards on the nose. Like, this is as close as it gets for me. There's nothing dynamic there. It's catch and fall.
Under. I should go over because I think they're going to involve him because, as you said, it is an emotional game for him that means a little more, and you're trying to, you know, just take care of your guy. But I think this is a McLaurin, Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown kind of outside in game. I think you're trying to work on these kid corners. First round pick, Quinyon Mitchell, second round pick that they got as well. It's now in the nickel.
Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean's good, by the way.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I wasn't sure what he would be. I mean, he's just an awesome nickel corner. I mean, it's been a nice, easy, smooth transition. So, I don't know. I'll say under. Probably should go over, but I've lost a little bit of confidence after the last couple of weeks in Ertz.
In Ertz's one career game against Philadelphia, he had 6 receptions on 10 targets for 48 yards. That was back in 2022.
How dynamic. Blow your socks off right there.
Relax,
that's
guy.
8 yards a carry, a catch. That's amazing.
6 for 48, you would take that every single week from your tight end.
This tight end, yes.
Any tight end. It's an 800-yard season.
6 for 48. You're excited about that?
For a tight end? A 90-catch, 800-yard season? Yeah, I'm excited for that. It would mean you're a top-5 tight end in the league every year.
Noah Brown has his over-under set at 38.5 via FanDuel.
Over. Noah Brown will get some of the targets I just said Zach Ertz won't. It's the in-breakers, it's the digs, it's the 10 to 15 area. Can you catch the football for me, buddy?
Hey, bud.
I'm going to need you to. Jason Bateman, this thing. Hey, pal.
Hey, bud.
You want to catch the football, buddy? Huh? Do you want to do it? Let's go. Noah Brown over.
Under, second straight game where we're going to leave the game thinking, damn, they could use another playmaker at receiver.
Oof, that's tough.
What was the number on Noah Brown? Give it to me one more
time. 38.5.
Yeah.
38.5. He has gone for 33. Week before that, 60 against the Giants. That's an easy over. 73 with a Hail Mary.
That's a big chunk of that.
I'm going to say that would have been an under. But
that's 3 for 20 or 2 for 20 outside of that.
Yeah, but he was 7 or so away probably before the Hail Mary. So he's hit the over in 2 of the last 3 and in 3 of 4 because he had 58 against the Ravens as well. Really, it's about targets. I mean, he has one every now and then he has the 1 or 2 target game. For the most part, since he got here, it's been 5, 6 targets. But there's just no – Daniels plays point guard. You know, he is basically reading it out and – they don't seem to ever go into a game planning on involving anyone other than McLaurin.
The guy to be scared by tonight, A.J. Brown, he's torched us in the past. They have it set at 80
over.
And a half.
Oh, over. I thought you were going to say 800.
They have it set at 110. No, over. 80 and a half.
This is over.
Earlier you had him. You said you had him under 100.
No. A.J. Brown?
Yeah.
Me? I said that?
You referenced that earlier in the show.
You're doing a bit?
No.
If I did, I was wrong. He's comfortable. He goes over.
I don't know what – it was when we were doing our wish segment. You're like, I think A.J. Brown, you know, it's 80 or so yards. No? Maybe I'm making
this up. Talking about a wish? Like a wish that it would happen?
No, no.
Like I wish that he wasn't going to kill us?
During that segment. I could be making this up.
Maybe it was one of the callers.
Do you remember this?
I remember one of the callers saying that BSJ should have a big game and lock up.
Okay, maybe I'm making it up. I thought you were saying you had A.J. Brown having a quiet night.
No. No. If I did, maybe I've changed my mind since then. I don't remember saying that. I'm not trying to
Does it sound like something you would say?
No, I'm not trying to go full Cowherd here and not be accountable for anything I say, yeah. But I don't. If I said that, I take it back now. Here's what I think. He goes nuts.
I could have made up a memory.
It's totally fine.
Like, maybe I'm having deja vu. We're in a Philly bar. We're in the corner.
Yeah.
There's an Eagles logo right over your head.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think these guys stop A.J. Brown.
These guys tonight step up.
I don't know why now you're the Philly guy either. My dream was very weird, as you can tell.
It was a strange dream.
The most over.
Yeah.
How much is over? A lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. This one, the odds have to be super low for it on FanDuel. Saquon Barkley, 13.5 receiving yards. That seems like a lock.
Is that per catch? Yeah, he's going over that. He's going to catch two screens and rumble.
13.5?
13.5
receiving yards. It's a weird one. Yards. Maybe they think he's too busy just running it.
So they're clearly of the belief, number one, that they'll just be able to do whatever they want with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
But it seems like they have not really – I mean, I will say they don't involve him in the passing game basically at all. last week, one catch. 2 weeks ago, one catch. Week before that, two catches, 11 yards. Week before that, two catches, 7 yards. And he's had 30 yards receiving 2 times this year, and he's been under 15 5 times.
Wow.
So it's not really a big part of what they've used him to do. I'll say over. That was a lot of words to say. He's going to have a.
He'll go over this one.
He'll have a screen for 15 yards in the first drive, probably. So there you go. A little over-under. Props via FanDuel. Thank you to producer Darris for guiding us through that segment. We're closing in on Logan Paulson at 6 o'clock and some of our predictions. Let's give you a little Commander spotlight next on G&D. Taking you up to 6:30, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Remember, while we are out and about in Philly tonight at the Bayou Bar, we thank them for the hospitality. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing it D.C. style in the DMV again. We're going to be at Third Hill Brewing Company off of Georgia Avenue in Silver Spring. We're like a rock band, dude. We are just traveling we can't say the country. We'll call it the Mid-Atlantic.
We're traveling the region.
We're
right? Playing gig after gig?
We're on trains. People are spilling coffee on us.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, my friend.
We're doing live shows in Philly in one night and in D.C. the next.
We also speak with the old school British accents as well. You know what I mean? You play one tour, you see them all, right? Every venue's the same. They all bleed together.
We're going to start calling ourselves artists and talk about our process. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, mate. I mean, creative process. You can't force it, you know what I mean? You get me.
But hopefully we see you tomorrow. If you're in Silver Spring, stop on through Third Hill Brewing Company. Whether the Commanders win or lose, we'll be out. It'll certainly be a more fun show if they win, no doubt about that. Logan Paulson at the top of the hour, right at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say about this matchup. And we'll make our final predictions coming up in just a few on Grant and Danny. Let's get to a Commanders spotlight, though, as we get ready for kickoff tonight. The ball's going to be put in the air in about 2 hours and 30 minutes from right now. So, Danny, you start us off. Who are you putting under the spotlight?
Brian Robinson has been close to going for a couple of weeks, wasn't able to. Now he is back, and he's such a focal point here of this offense. You need him in a lot of games. I mean, they haven't played as well without him. That's obvious. When you have good players, your team tends to play better. But this is a huge one for Brian Robinson to step up, control the line of scrimmage, control the ball. Not necessarily all the breakaway runs. I don't think that's in the cards. But those twos into fours, those fours into fives, staying ahead of the chains, keeping time in possession.
How about Andrew Wiley?
Yeah, welcome back.
Andrew Wiley at right tackle, who missed last week, and this is a sign of the times. This is indicative of just how far he's come in a short time. Last year, enemy of the state number one within this fan base.
Mm-hmm.
It became a perilous pregame situation last week when people found out he might not be able to go against T.J. Watt. They get him back. The Eagles are a very good pass-rushing team, despite the fact that they don't have great sack totals, but they can generate pressure. They've certainly done that quite a bit over this five-game winning streak where they're leading the NFL defensively.
Spotlights. Defensive ends. Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler, whoever else ends up rushing the passer, you got to be good tonight. This has to happen. You've got to get a sack, maybe a sack fumble. You've got to hit Ertz early. When you hit Ertz, when you hit Jalen, when you hit Jalen Hurts, not Jalen Hurts, that'd be a different player.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts.
I don't want them to hit Ertz.
That'd be a mistake.
That would mean that, like, Zach Ertz caught a ball, like, ran onto the sideline, and then, like, while they're near the bench, they just started hitting him.
Now, I can't.
Or we'd have, like, a Daron Payne, John Allen situation.
Oh, yeah. They put his finger on his face, the whole thing's awkward. To me, now, I can't prove this, but this is just a feeling I've had. If you hit Hurts early on in the game a couple of times, he becomes a worse quarterback. Some guys, that rolls right off and it's not a big deal. To me, if you knock him around a little bit, then he's a little bit more tentative with his throws, doesn't step in, maybe doesn't trust what he sees anymore. He's been real comfortable over the last handful of weeks. I'd love to see what happens if you rattle him a little bit. Defensive ends, early, please.
I want to drill down on something you were just talking about with Dante Fowler. Fowler is not getting the national attention he deserves. He's in the top five in sacks.
He's third in the NFL in sacks, man.
Which is pretty amazing, considering the contract he signed, when in free agency he signed that deal, and just the expectations for him coming into the season. He's got 8.5 sacks. He's got a sack in 5 of their last 6 games. He's got 4 sacks in their last 2 games, a couple of multi-sack games. And he is on pace for 14 sacks this year. The only players in team history who have ever had 14 sacks, Dexter Manley, Charles Mann. And it was 3 seasons between those two guys. That's the entire list. Manley did it twice. Ryan Kerrigan, 13.5 as a max at one point. Chase Young never got close. He's barely got that in his career. If you talk about like Montez Sweat or Brian Arakpo or any of the recent edge rushers that came in here to be the ace pass rusher.
Nobody close.
Nobody in that vicinity. So it's pretty easy quickly to fall off that pace and end up at, you know, 10 or 11 for the year. But if he were to go out and have another sack and a half tonight or a 2-sack game against Hurts, now you're sitting at 10.5 on pace for 16-17. You could pretty easily see a path to him getting 12.5, 13 this year, and that would be a huge payday coming for him, whether it's an extension here with his guy Dan Quinn, who we followed from Dallas to come to D.C., or whether he would leave and go break the bank somewhere.
Yeah, what a crazy thing. I mean, they usually, remember now this is a couple years ago, this hasn't been updated, but remember it was going rate was $1 million a sack. In the free agency market, in the open market. Well, how about he's got 8.5, and I think he's making 3 this year? You've already got your money's worth and then some. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Give me one more.
Spotlight on. I'm going to pick Zach Ertz. We talked about him. I also misspoke. Jalen Hurts Zach Ertz, but whatever. Revenge game. This is his night. He's been named a captain. His time. Redeeming himself from last week. A huge drop. Falls short there on 4th down. Really tough play that everybody remembers. I'm sure he remembers it too. This is another huge opportunity for him and for this team. And there's a reason you go get a veteran like that early on in free agency. It's for games like this.
We're going to ask Logan Paulson about Zach Ertz and some of the subtleties to his game, some of the things he's doing that fans or even media members like us are not going to give him enough credit for, that maybe go under the radar as there's frustration when he drops a pass or doesn't do something after the catch. We can put that on the list with Logan coming up next. We've also got our players to lock in on and eventually our predictions all before we say goodbye. We are at Bayou Bar and Grill in Philadelphia on Grant and Danny. You are locked in to 106.7 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.